The man turned his icy smile on Bean one more time. "And I'll bet that Bean here is already planning to be the admiral who gives you all orders some day. He's even planning how he'll order me to stand solitary watch on some asteroid observatory till my bones melt from osteoporosis and I ooze around the station like an amoeba." Bean hadn't given a moment's thought to some future contest between him and this particular officer. He had no desire for vengeance. He wasn't Ashiel. Ashiel was stupid. And this officer was stupid for thinking that Bean would think that way. No doubt, however, the man thought Bean would be grateful because he had just warned the others not to pick on him. But Bean had been picked on by tougher bastards than these could possibly be. This officer's protection was not needed, and it made the gulf between Bean and the other children wider than before. If Bean could have lost a couple of tussles, he would have been humanized, accepted, perhaps. But now there would be no tussles. No easy way to build bridges. That was the reason for the annoyance that the man apparently saw on Bean's face. "I've got a word for you, Bean. I don't care what you do to me. Because there's only one enemy that matters. The buggers. And if you can grow up to be the admiral who can give us victory over the buggers and keep Earth safe for humanity, then make me eat my own guts, ass first, and I'll still say thank you, sir. The buggers are the enemy. Not Nero. Not Bean. Not even me. So keep your hands off each other." He grinned again, mirthlessly. "Besides, the last time somebody tried picking on another kid, he ended up flying through the shuttle in Null G and got his arm broken. It's one of the laws of strategy. Until you know that you're tougher than the enemy, you maneuver. You don't commit to battle. Consider that your first lesson in battle school." First lesson? No wonder they used this guy to tend children on the shuttle flights instead of having him teach. If you followed that little piece of wisdom, you'd be paralyzed against a vigorous enemy. Sometimes you have to commit to a fight even when you're weak. You don't wait till you know you're tougher. You make yourself tougher by whatever means you can, and then you strike by surprise. You sneak up, you backstab, you blindside, you cheat, you lie, you do whatever it takes to make sure that you come out on top. This guy might be real tough as the only adult on a shuttle full of kids, but if he were a kid on the streets of Rotterdam, he'd maneuver himself into starvation in a month. If he wasn't killed before that just for talking like he thought his piss was perfume. The man turned to head back to the control cabin. Bean called out to him. "What's your name?" The man turned and fixed him with a withering stare. "Already drafting the orders to have my balls ground to powder, Bean?" Bean didn't answer, just looked him in the eye. "I'm Captain Dymack. Anything else you want to know?" "Might as well find out now as later." "Do you teach at battle school?" "Yes," he said. "Coming down to pick up shuttle loads of little boys and girls is how we get Earthside leave. Just as with you, my being on this shuttle means my vacation is over." The refueling planes peeled away and rose above them. No, it was their own craft that was sinking, and the tail was sinking lower than the nose of the shuttle. Metal covers came down over the windows. It felt like they were falling faster, faster, until with a bone-shaking roar, the rockets fired and the shuttle began to rise again, higher. Faster, faster, until Bean felt like he was going to be pushed right through the back of his chair. It seemed to go on forever, unchanging. Then, silence. Silence, and then a wave of panic. They were falling again, but this time there was no downward direction, just nausea and fear. Bean closed his eyes. It didn't help. He opened them again, tried to reorient himself. No direction provided equilibrium. But he had schooled himself on the street not to succumb to nausea. A lot of the food he had to eat had already gone a little bad, and he couldn't afford to throw it up. So he went into his anti-nausea routine. deep breaths, distracting himself by concentrating on wiggling his toes. And after a surprisingly short time, he was used to the nullgy. As long as he didn't expect any direction to be down, he was fine. The other kids didn't have his routine, or perhaps they were more susceptible to the sudden, relentless loss of balance. Now the reason for the prohibition against eating before the launch became clear. There was plenty of retching going on, but with nothing to throw up, there was no mess, no smell. Dymac came back into the shuttle cabin, this time standing on the ceiling. Very cute, thought Bean. Another lecture began, this time about how to get rid of planet-side assumptions about directions and gravity. Could these kids possibly be so stupid they needed to be told such obvious stuff? Bean occupied the time of the lecture by seeing how much pressure it took to move himself around within his loosely fitting harness. Everybody else was big enough that the harnesses fit snugly and prevented movement. Bean alone had room for a little maneuvering. He made the most of it. By the time they arrived at battle school, he was determined to have at least a little skill at movement in Null G. He figured that in space, his survival might someday depend on knowing just how much force it would take to move his body, and then how much force it would take to stop. Knowing it in his mind wasn't half so important as knowing it with his body. Analyzing things was fine, but good reflexes could save your life.